Your weekend outlook is brought to you by Tom Potter State Farm. Let Tom Potter quote your insurance. Call 270-965-2284.
Good morning, everyone. It's Chris Evans with the Crittenden Press, our podcast for Thursday, October 16th. And fall is on its way, folks. I can start to see it a little more every day, a little cooler. And it won't be too long, actually a couple of weeks, we'll lose the opportunity to have lighted evenings. The daylight saving time will leave us early November, and that will be, what, on November 2nd, I believe it is. Yeah, the first Sunday of November, we'll lose an hour in the afternoons. I always hate that time of year because it gets dark before I can usually get out of town and get home to do anything, around the house. But nonetheless, fall is creeping in, and the days are shorter, and our evenings are going to be a great deal shorter. So coming up on today's podcast, we have a special guest at the end of the program. The winningest coach in school history. And I'm not going to tell you who that is. You can guess until we get to the end, because it's the winningest coach in a specific sport. And we'll have that individual on later in the program. I want to talk today about Marion's push to clean up blighted properties, the latest on county tax bills, and how a Crittenden County artist is painting her way into the community's history. Those of you who listen to the program regularly know that who that is, and you can grab this week's Crittenden Press and see more about Erod, the artist behind all these murals in town. Elizabeth Kirby Rodriguez. Many of you know her by her maiden name, Elizabeth Kirby. That's why I use that as well. Getting straight to some of the, I guess you might call it hardcore news, is the City of Marion's aggressive approach to run down and unkept properties across town. It's been a big push for the last, 18 months, 2 years maybe. They have really kind of been setting the stage for this. And now Code Enforcement Officer Tanya Byers told the Code Enforcement Board on Monday that there are 24 new properties added to the city's watch list. Already this month, during October, 17 issues have been abated by actions by the code enforcement officer. The board upheld a fine against a North College Street homeowner with a two decades old history of violations, and although it did waive a small amount of the fine, the $25 fine for not having a visible street address, all the other fines stuck. You can read more about that in the Crittenden Press and some other properties that they're really kind of focusing on. There are a number of them that are getting letters, but final orders are being processed on a number of blighted and unkept properties across the city, and it's become a big priority of the current administration and city council. We're going to take a quick break and hear from one of our sponsors, and I'll be right back in just a moment.
I turned 16 about 2 years ago, and like most girls my age, I know nothing about cars. When my check engine light pops up, my dad always says the same thing: take it to Duncan's. At Duncan Service Center, Lacey, Nick, and Junior always take care of me. Whether it's a flat tire, a weird noise, or just an oil change, they make sure I'm back on the road in no time. Duncan's carries new and used tires, does tire repairs, and handles all types of automotive diagnostics and repairs. You'll find them at Marion's busiest intersection, Main and Gum Streets, right where help's always nearby. Duncan Service Center, where service still means something.
And we'd like to welcome the crew down at Duncan's aboard for sponsorship of the podcast. As I remind you quite often, this program that we do 2 days a week is brought to you by advertising. Without those advertising partners, we'd be unable to do it. So we need to keep them coming. If you're interested, give us a shout at the Crittenden Press. Shoot us a text if you want to say we're interested in being part of sponsoring the podcast and supporting local journalism here in Marion and Crittenden County. You can dial us up at 270-965-3191. Again, 965-3191. Crittenden County property tax bills will be mailed out on Monday, October 27th. Joy, joy, right? Everybody's excited about that one. Collection will begin on Saturday, November 1st. This year, more than 6,700 tax bills. Now, again, that's 6,700 tax bills totaling just over $4.2 million will go out in the mail. Now, the largest share of the tax dollar, $2.37 million to be exact, supports local schools, followed by county government, the library, extension service, and the local health district. Sheriff Evan Head says that the county typically collects about 97% of the tax bills before turning the remainder over to the county clerk each April to begin the process of creating what's called a delinquent tax account. And that's always a pretty painful series of events if you let it get that far. So again, you can pay that with a discount during November. That's the best time to do it. You get 2% off of the face value. Always try to pay mine early like that, because anytime I can save 2%, I'm happy to do so. Your tax bills will become delinquent if not paid by the end of the year. Some upcoming meetings around the area. The Crittenden County Fiscal Court will convene this morning at 8:30 a.m. That's at the county office complex. The Circuit Court also meets today in Crittenden County. Circuit Court is held typically the second Thursday of each month, but because of, because of school fall break this month, they've bumped it back. So Circuit Court will be today, which is the third Thursday of October. And if you're so inclined this morning, you can go over to the Senior Center over on Walker Street, North Walker Street, right there, kind of catty corner across from Foes Hall, and join in the line dancing this morning, 9:30 a.m. at the Senior Center. Another article in this week's Crittenden Press you may want to take a look at, particularly if you live out in the rural part of the community, even if you're in town for that matter. If you have one of these UTVs, they call them specialty type vehicles, the state, some of you may know, passed some new legislation back first of the year that will allow for these types of vehicles to be operated on public roads. Now, you have to meet a number of physical requirements. They have to have brake lights and horns and blinkers and safety belts and all sorts of requirements, and then you also have to pay the taxes on this. You have to pay a property tax. Like if you bought this from an individual and did not pay property taxes, you'll have to pay that when you go to register it. You'll have to have insurance on it. You will have to pay property tax every year on it, just like you do your vehicle when you register it. So you will have to do that at the county clerk's office if you are interested in licensing one of these vehicles to operate them on the road. Now, when you do, you can't be on some of the major highways for an extended period of time. You can cross them, run down them just a bit, but you can't get on 641 and go from Marion to Fredonia. I've seen a few people doing that, but you're not supposed to. You can read all about that, the requirements, in this week's Crittenden Press. We're going to take a short break again to hear from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be back with sports and that mystery guest you will get to hear from today.
H&H Home and Hardware, the name says it all. And in 2025, H&H is celebrating its 25th year in business. H&H Home and Hardware on Sturgeon Road in Marion has everything you need for plumbing, electrical, lumber, paint, building supplies, hardware, plus pool supplies, steel power equipment and repairs, and so much more. H&H is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m., 6 p.m.
In local outdoors, the youth firearm deer season continues through this weekend, as we've told you before. Extra days to get those youngsters out this year. It's typically a two-day season, but this time it's 9 days. Also coming up this weekend is the black powder deer season. That's for muzzleloader type weapons. Rocket football team will be back in action this weekend after a bye week last Friday. They will be at Fort Campbell on the military base for a district game Friday night, 7 p.m. And early next week, the Lady Rocket volleyball team will begin to defend their grip on the 5th district title. They've won 7 straight district tournament championships, the Lady Rockets have. And they will be hosting the 5th District Tournament this year. It starts on Tuesday. Actually, it'll all be played on Tuesday. The first game that evening will be Trigg and Livingston in the semifinal game. And then Crittenden County, the number one seed, will play the winner in the championship in the nightcap. Now, back to that mystery guest, we are going to hear from Jessica DeBurgo. She's just wrapped up a very successful soccer season. And to some people, it may not seem quite successful. But when you look at the historic successes of Crittenden County soccer program, quite frankly, it has not been real good. A lot of years didn't win a game, some years one or two. But Jessica is putting together a string of some pretty good seasons. She's just finished her 5th year as the head coach for the Lady Rockets, and she is the winningest coach in Crittenden County soccer history. In fact, she is the only coach in Crittenden County soccer history that has a winning record, an overall winning record. So we want to take just a moment this morning and hear from Jessica DeBurgo. Well, good morning, Jess. Thanks for coming on to the podcast and talking about Lady Rockets soccer. I know you wrapped up your season. Can you give our listeners just a quick wrap up of what happened here in postseason?
Yeah, I'm super proud of the girls. We were able in the postseason to defeat Lyon County in the district semifinal that took place on Monday night, which led us to be able to play in the final on Tuesday and then play in the opening round of regional tournament this year that started on Saturday. So in my coaching career, this is like the second time getting to the championship and getting into a regional game. So that was super exciting. The win on that Monday night was just such a culminating win on the season, because we had seen Lyon County so many times this season between playing in the All-A and in district play. So that was a big win for our team. And then in our district championship game, we were doing pretty well. We were holding them down to 2-0. And then our main nucleus player suffered a face injury in terrible. Ella Geary. We were all feeling for her. And then kind of it was hard to keep up the morale after the injury because we were just all super worried about her. And so we unfortunately did not win that night. We still got some hardware for being second place, so we're still proud of that. And we had three girls that were named to the all district team, and so that was senior Ella Yuri, who had to come accept her award with her black eye. And then we had a sophomore Avery Berry, and then we also had a senior Molly Blazina, who in past years was like an offensive player, but really has had to be a defensive player, and has taken some sacrifices in doing that for our team. So it was really cool to see the three of them getting recognized for their efforts. Saturday, we ended up drawing and playing an early afternoon game, which was very unusual for us. But we played Madisonville North Hopkins, and kind of going into the game, we just had a very defensive game plan in preparation for the game. I was a little bit out of town because we had fall break, and so the team and our assistant coach, Coach Bloodworth, she really got a good plan down and got all the kids on board. And Pew did a really good job of making sure spirits were still high and still positive going into that game because we were down some players due to it being fall break and people being out of town. So we were just kind of like, we're going to get in here. We're going to do the best we can. We're going to put it all out on the field. And I think the girls did just that. Madisonville is a top of the region team. And so to hold them 4-0 was an incredible feat. Like, we are so proud of that. Macy Bell, Hardesty, our goalkeeper, she had like one of the best games she had this season. Everyone was in the defensive mindset. Everyone was being a team player. Girls were moving around in positions that they weren't even usually used to playing in the entire season to make sure that they were in a spot that was helping the team. And so it was like, I wrote in my Facebook post, it was something that you only see in your dreams, like of having kids like already know ahead of time what you're thinking and making those moves and working together and doing what the girls around them needed them to do. And so that was really amazing to see as
And
well on Saturday.
Ella Gary was named to the all-region team for the second year in a row.
Yep. So we had to do so the all the head coaches in the region get we have to nominate players that we feel are worthy and nominate goalkeepers as well. And then there's a ranking system. And so we get a list of all the players that have been nominated from other head coaches, and then we rank them all up, not including our own. And so to have Ella for a second year in a row be ranked in the top 20 players in the entire 13 schools in the region is a huge deal because that's something she's being recognized for by lots of other people. A lot of other people had this very similar thought and mindset going there. And truly, Ella is a player who a lot of the team depends on. And when her game is off, it throws everyone off. So Ella being like having her brain in it to win it and being locked in was super important for the team this season. And I'm really proud of her, and I definitely think she deserved her kudos as well. So
Yeah, and like you said, you said she played with a black eye. It looked like she played with a closed eye to me from the pictures I
yeah,
saw.
so yeah,
She
so
couldn't.
she so she it was in the district championship, it was literally the first whistle to kick off the second half. And Kylie Bloodworth had done a kick back to her, and she tried to come up with the ball, and a girl from Trig, they just collided heads. And from the way that the angle was, the other player didn't get hurt as bad, but Ella is like, the other player went down to the ground, and Ella was still standing, but she was holding her face. And when we all came over, within a minute of her being hit, her face swelled up and her eyes swelled up super bad, and she could not see. She just kept saying, "I can't see."
Well, you
Oh,
told
one second. I'm sorry, there's an announcement.
but while that's going on, I'll say that you told me the other day, soccer is like football without pads, and it really
Yes,
is.
it really is.
It's a
Yeah, she
sport.
came off the field and she could not see out of that eye. She begged to come back on the field, and everyone was like, "No, Ella, you cannot go out on the fields and play and just hold your eye open. But that night we had been keeping updated with her parents all week, just kind of on her condition. And even the night of the district championship, she's like, I'm playing on Saturday, whether I have two eyes or not. That is a big deal to me. And luckily throughout the week, it was getting better over time. And then finally on Saturday morning, it opened up and she had her full vision. We were fully prepared going into that game on Saturday to kind of adjust if we needed for her and her injury, but it ended up being that her eye like had all visibility, and she was able to play completely normal game on Saturday, which was a blessing.
Well, that's great. Well, we also want to, you know, congratulate you. I put together some stats that I'll have in the newspaper this week, and you are the winningest soccer coach in school history. 35 wins, 47 losses, and four ties. And this year, of course, your team finished 7-11, and this is only the 7-11-1. There are ties in soccer, which there aren't in some other sports, but nonetheless, mm-hmm. So seven wins, and that's kind of a benchmark as well, because the program's only had that many wins like three or four other times in history. And of course, your team was 11-6, the winningest team ever in 2022. So congratulations, winningest coach in Lady Rocket soccer history, and really about the closest to a winning record as well.
Well, thank you. But it truly, I wouldn't even say I could take 75% of the credit. If I did not have the village around me, if I did not have my assistant coaches, if I did not have Heather, if I did not have Ken, if I did not have the parents on board of our players, if I did not have this village, my name and those numbers would not be together.
And you mentioned Heather Bloodworth and Ken Gary, your assistant coaches. Of course, Ken was a head coach in previous years himself.
Yes, Ken years ago had came on and coached when he first started teaching, and he at the time did not know much about the sport itself. He was just a coach. He was a big basketball guy, and they had him come on and help with the soccer program. And I think that through the years as well, like, he's learned a lot and has been able to give pointers. And then you have Coach Heather as well, which Coach Heather has years of experience working with youth. And a lot of the girls that we had on the team this year are girls that she worked with, like, when they were in elementary school or like had in class. Senior night was really hard. And I'm not a crier, but I shed some tears on senior night, especially listening to her kind of reminisce. And she was looking at some of these girls and she's like, I had these kids in third grade and second grade. And so it's a connection. Certainly I think that our success that we have seen is because of the time that we have taken in to invest in our girls and develop relationships with our girls, and kind of put the time in and understand that we are there for them, helping them be able to be full student athletes. A lot of our girls are involved in lots of things outside of soccer. And so being supportive in those ways as well, and especially the grades. I'm an advocate about student first. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a lot of pieces, a lot of things that have came together that have equated in those wins.
Yeah. Well, again, congratulations. Soccer program started here in 2001, and yet there weren't too many coaches, I think, in those early years that knew a great deal about soccer, and it kind of shows. We were obviously making a big to-do about winning seven games in a season this year, but when you look back through the history of the program, there were a lot of years when they didn't win a game. So it's progress. It's real progress. And
yeah, for sure. It's hard over here regionally, just where we are situated, not being closer to bigger cities and mm-hmm. kids not having as many opportunities to do travel ball, to do indoor, to do the off season work mm-hmm. To help you in the season. And then also another contributing factor I would say is just like our population. We're seeing it across all of the major sports right now of just having the kids to play and having the numbers to play. For example, on Saturday at our regional game, we had two subs and they had 11 subs. They could have subbed their entire field out with a clean sheet. And so I think that we have come a long way. I think that soccer has come a long way. I think that our program has really helped kind of open eyes to people in kind of this area about what soccer is and what soccer can be. And we've put a lot of work in, and I'm really proud of what we built here.
Yeah, well, it shows. Well, and I thank you for your time this morning, being on the program, and good luck as you continue on this path with this program.
Right, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
And that's going to be a wrap on this morning's program. This has been Chris Evans reporting for the Crittenden Press.